So last week we had a very exciting Sunday. We had lots of participation, lots of energy. How many of you guys were here last week? Wasn't that cool? We haven't done anything like that in the history of this church, doing something to that effect. And it was just really, really cool. If you missed it, last week what we did was we've been in a series on spiritual gifts. So last week was about renewing the focus. I guess I'll start there then. So last week was about renewing the focus, and it's in connection with our sermon series is going with all about last week to get us ready for last week and kind of some post ripples from last week on spiritual gifts. And so last week what we did was we came in here, we talked about how do I know my spiritual gift? And one of the tools that you can use is a spiritual gifts, some people call them spiritual gifts tests, but that's a no-no word anymore. So spiritual gift discovery or spiritual gift assessment. And so what we did was we actually took one right here in church. We took a very condensed one. And then from there, what we did was we went down the hall and we had 16 dream categories of some things that came out of an event that happened last fall. Of different things that we could dream about as a church, different directions we could go in. And so we went down and every table was a spiritual gift, and each spiritual gift had some of those dreams associated with the spiritual gift. And the goal was to sign up if you had an interest in seeing this dream happen. And man, we had a ton of signatures. When I took the signatures and I typed them up, and I'm a decent typer, I'm decently quick, it took me an hour and a half to transfer all those over to get ready for our elders meeting on Tuesday. And so we had a lot of participation. It was really, really cool. Last week, if you missed last week, you can still go online and you can hear some of what was said. We normally stop recording when we get to the invitation. But then at the end of the service, I had a little something to say. Ryan had a little something to say that were both very potent. Pertinent, there we go. I had to think of George Bush to get the word. Wouldn't be pertinent. We had some extra things there that didn't make it onto the recording, which is not a big deal. It's not you guys' fault at all. We just don't normally record that part of the service. But most of what was said, you got my little thing and John and Julie and then Mike, the beginning of Mike's leading up to the spiritual gifts test. And then right below the sermon link, there is a link to the Fit Kit, which we used a abbreviated version of this last week. But this is you can take the full test, 70 questions. It's available online. You can print it out and take it, and you get a little more of an accurate answer. It might be different, a little bit different than what you got last Sunday in the abbreviated. It might match. We tried to make sure that it would match. The Dream Team worked hard to make sure that they could condense it as much as they could and still try and keep the integrity of the test. So there are copies of these available at the Information Center, paper copies, or you can go online, you can download the PDF, print it out yourself, take it there. So that's available. And somewhere my other test went away, but we have a 16-gift spiritual gifts test and a personality test that we do. I normally do that with premarital, and we have it available here at the church as a great tool, but that one does cost, it's a small fee on that one with the company. So we have different options available if you want to do a little more poking into your spiritual gift and you were here last week or you weren't here last week and you'd like to kind of catch up on that and you think, oh man, I missed out. It's okay. You can get some of it online. We can't repeat the event, but you can get some of what happened in the service online, and you can get the spiritual gifts test and find out where you're at there. And so all of this is coming together at the end of a long journey of the renewing the focus that we've been doing, and we are now the leadership, myself and the elders. We are tasked with taking all of this information, all the dream information that we got, the interest information that you guys got, the demographics that the demographic study did, the target areas that we put together from the demographic study, the SWOT analysis that was done of our surrounding people, the SWOT analysis that was done of our church, the new mission statement, the new core values, Jesus' ideal for the church. And now we as a leadership, we get to take all that and put together a 3-year plan. So, and this is not meant to be joking at all. Pray for us. This is a big, big undertaking, a big task. And Tuesday's night, I kind of had to step back myself and I said, okay, guys, it's just 3 years. We're thinking big, we're thinking deep, and that's awesome. But I kind of had to reel it back for myself as well and say, okay, it's 3 years. And here's where we go. So let me give you just a little update also on where we were last week. Just to let you know, we had a top three for sure out of all the signups. We had about a five-way tie for fourth place. So fourth place was, we had about five different ones for that. So we had 16 total. So you had three and then five. And then the last eight, they were a little low. It was a definite gap between those. So it was evident that those eight dream categories are dream categories that we're not equipped right now as a church to pursue. And that was good. That helped narrow it down. And so the top three, just to share that with you, because I know you guys would all be very curious about that. The top three, the first one was increased involvement, volunteering, and partnership with other organizations that offer assistance and service to those in need. Okay, something we already do some, but we're wanting to increase that, and that could be a very good thing for our church and our health as we exercise the gifts or our gifts and acts of service. So the second one was to improve the overall aesthetics of the church building and grounds. And that's good news. So we can do some things there. I've already started getting some things moving there with my friend Ronnie, right? So Ronnie and I have been talking for a while about it. So I was glad that she signed up there. So I might be shoulder tapping you. So, okay. So be in prayer for Ronnie because she's on my list. So more publicity about our church, which is another thing I've been talking to Ronnie about. So God's just, he's put his bullseye on you. You got a little red dot on you, a little laser targeting. So more publicity about our church. Intentional increase of a visible presence promoting our church and its ministries to our communities. And we actually have a piece of this happening this week. And I'm going to wait to share that when I share some of the bulletin announcements. But just to let you know, there's a piece of that already happening and helping us to give us some tools to help promote and to be able to share about what we've got going on here. So as I said, we met this past Tuesday night as a leadership group. And we're going to be meeting in a couple of weeks. And just to let you guys know, we are already talking about, because we want to move on this. We want to move quickly. And we're already talking about getting three focus groups together on these three different dream things. So you might be getting some shoulder taps because we're wanting to get some focus groups to start getting some ideas here. Because now we need goals. Now we need strategy. And we need to be able to step that out and say, okay, here's the plan. Here's how we're going to accomplish this in 3 years or even shorter. It could be one each year. It could be all three over a period of 3 years. There are various ways we can make a three-year plan out of these. So but just to let you guys know, we hit it hard on Tuesday. And we appreciate all of your work and your heart that was shown last week and all through this renewing the focus. It's taken a lot longer than any of us had imagined, but I really think that's been a huge blessing because we've uncovered some things that we wouldn't have uncovered if we'd have just rushed through it and moved through it. We've had some very good discussions that you guys will never even know about, but they're discussions that have really helped to solidify where we are as a leadership, and it's really going to help in God's ability to move and direct through this church. So that's really awesome. So just wanted to keep you guys informed on the process there. So last week we took a spiritual gifts discovery, spiritual gifts assessment. And you probably found out that you had a gift that you might have already known about. How many of you guys were kind of there where you saw that and you're like, yeah, that fits. That makes sense. And maybe it was something that confirmed what you already thought was a spiritual gift. But maybe you learned about a secondary or a tertiary gift that you didn't even know was there, and you wouldn't have even thought about it. I shared with you guys a few weeks ago, and you'll have to go back and listen to that message because I've got way too much packed in here to share the story again, but of how I learned about my teaching gift at that week of camp when I was invited up. So that was 2 weeks ago in that sermon. And so when I learned about that, teaching then started becoming a gift that I developed through the years, through the years that I traveled with the band. I would do a lot of speaking, and when the band stopped traveling, it was something where I talked to the lead singer in the band, which is my best friend, still my best friend. We were texting each other yesterday about sermon stuff, and got distracted talking about theology. asked him, I asked my wife, I said, you know, I love music, and music's really a big part of my heart, but I really feel like I have a stronger gift in teaching. And they were both, you know, just absolutely, that is a spiritual gift. That is the gift that God's given you. So that's why I came here 14 years ago. And so that was something I knew about. But then just a few years after I started here, I was introduced to that 16 gift spiritual gifts and personality, spiritual gifts assessment and personality test. I guess I can call that a test. And so when I took it, I was kind of shocked because teaching came up as my second gift. My first gift was actually being a pastor. And I thought, I didn't see that one coming. You know, and how many of you guys got that last week? Or you got something on there and you're like, but then when you start thinking about it, you're like, you know what? It does kind of make sense. When I started thinking about that, I was like, well, some of those things that come out of being a pastor or being a shepherd, they come pretty naturally for me. And I think it's because my spirit connects with God's spirit just seamlessly in those areas. And if you've ever been in my office during a troubled time or whatnot, they're just, God leads me into questions that I never would have thought to ask, that probe into areas where the exact places to probe. Now, none of you guys are going to come to my office now. But but it's really uncanny, and it's nothing but the Spirit and God working and leading me to places where I never would have thought to ask questions. And you know, within, you know, 15, 20 minutes sometimes, we are far deeper than either of us imagined we would get. But it was a God thing. And sometimes God will lead me to scriptures and pieces in scripture that I haven't thought about for years or haven't even read over in years. And God will lead me there, and it'll be the exact scripture that will connect with this person in a way that I never would have imagined or never would have known. I find out later that it connected on deep levels that I didn't know about. I was just the conduit. And then there are, sometimes when I'll give advice, some things will come to mind. And I'm like, you know what, this might sound crazy, but here, try this. And I've done that. I don't want to have you raise your hand because then you reveal that, you know, you've been there. And that's, you know, none of us want to share that. But there have been times, many times, where I'm like, you know what, this might be a little crazy, but try this. And let me know. Let me know, because this is, I don't know where this is coming from. I want to make sure it's going to be healthy. If it doesn't work, then, you know, it doesn't work. If it does, let me know. I wouldn't be able to give a percentage. I was going to say 9 times out of 10, but it might be 10 out of 10. I don't know. I get feedback from that and say, man, that really connected. That really made a difference. And that's not coming from a PhD in psychology. That's coming from God's Spirit manifesting through a grace-given gift. Amen. I love that. I love that about the gifts that we get given to us by the Spirit. And we get a chance to see that happen. So you might have discovered something. You might have had something confirmed last week. You might have discovered something brand new last week. And you might have known about some of it. And you might not have known about others. And some of it might have been putting it together, which is another thing that's really fun to do with spiritual gifts, is that when you get a chance to see your primary, your secondary, maybe even your tertiary, then you get a chance to see that there are neat little combinations that happen with those things. So like, for instance, if you got leadership as your primary and servant, being a servant as service rather is the gift as your secondary, or vice versa, service is your primary and leadership is your secondary. That's a combination that's often called a servant leader. For any leader, the goal is to be a servant leader. That's the goal. Whether you got the gifts or not, that's the goal. So as a leader, I strive to be a servant leader. But if you come out of a personalities assessment or a gifts assessment and your top two are servant leader, guess what? You have been supernaturally gifted to do what all other leaders aspire to be like, which is really, really cool. And so that those combinations, when you see those things happening together, with mine's a pastor teacher, that's actually a combination that's mentioned in scripture together as a pastor teacher. And And it's a perfect combination for what God's called me to here at Miami Town, to use both of those gifts in those places. Maybe God, maybe yours was, I don't know, mercy and say prophecy, the type of prophecy where it's like evangelism, sharing your faith with others. And so you have this just tremendous compassion for those that are hurting and those that are down and out, those that have been left out. And you have this just spiritual ability to share your faith with people in ways that just come so easily for you because it's a spiritual gift. And you put those two together and that's just amazing. Isn't that what Jesus did? I mean, you can look at all these spiritual gifts. Jesus had them all. But you can see those very clearly in the way that he lived. He would go and he would care for someone and then he would share with them about the kingdom. And you've been spiritually gifted. When you see that combination, you've been spiritually gifted, supernaturally gifted by God, by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus to do those things, to fit in that part. And I get so jazzed about the subject of spiritual gifts and learning about our part in the body. I told you that spiritual gifts assessment was one way. One tool. There are many different ways that you can learn about your spiritual gift, and I'm going to be sharing definitely about some today. One, and we're going to expand on it, but then maybe some more next week, depending on how next week morphs. It's next week's been morphing ever since the first week of this series, so we'll see what the Spirit leads me to that week in our preparation. So let's go and take some notes real quick here. Here's another way. Being active in ministry helps you to find out why did my title not carry over? I made a mistake. All right, so ignore the title on all the slides today. I changed it in the bulletin and it just hit me that it escaped me on the PowerPoint. So the notes are correct and all the scriptures are correct. It's just the title, man, oh man. Okay, I'm my own worst critic. Being active in ministry helps you find your spiritual gift. Being involved helps. It will help you next time you take a spiritual gifts assessment because as you're involved, it'll help you to be able to answer the questions with more knowledge of what you connect with and what you don't connect with. When you see the answer, when you get the results from the assessment or the discovery, then you'll be able to say, you know what? Yeah, I see that. That does fit. That confirms some things. So it helps there, but it also helps on the front end of it. It helps you discover your spiritual gift just by being active in ministry. In Romans 12, one of the three passages, I've got them listed at the bottom of your bulletin again this week. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 are the three main places where you see discussions in scriptures on spiritual gifts. Romans 12, right here connected with the spiritual gifts section. Paul opens up Romans 12 by saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So let's go back to that first verse here. Oh, sorry. There we go. Next verse back. There. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's words, to offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Okay, so offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, now we can move on to back to the notes slide there. So Paul goes straight from talking about offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. He goes straight from that right into talking about spiritual gifts. There's a direct connection to being active in ministry and your spiritual gifts. Discovering them, using them, putting them into practice. And the title up there is supposed to read, Don't Let It Go to Waste. And that's in your bulletins for sure. So we can't let it go to waste. We have to be active in ministry. And it's healthy for your spiritual gifts. It's exercise for your spiritual gifts. But it's also a way that you can discover your spiritual gifts. And so there, I'm going to give you three real quick tips underneath this heading here. So one, very, very simple. And this should go without saying, but I'm going to say it. You're going to write it down. Pray that God would reveal it. Sometimes we omit that as a first step. And so I don't feel guilty at all bringing that up anytime I bring it up. Because I think all too often, would you guys agree? Are you with me? Do you agree? We leave this out. Okay, don't leave me hanging. Do you agree with me? Okay, yes, okay. All too often, we skip that and we just go on. And we're like, I want to do this. I want to. No. Pause. Anything you do, especially looking for your spiritual gift, pray. Pray that God would reveal it. Seek it. Really seek it and seek God first. It's a spiritual gift he gave you. He knows it's there. I remember one time I lost my wedding ring. And I was praying. I was like, God, you know where it is. Doggone it, tell me. I know you know. Okay, so he knows your spiritual gift. So wouldn't it make sense to ask him? Reveal it to me. So we need to actively seek it. And actively, that sets our mindset. That helps our psychology to I'm seeking this. I'm looking for it. The second one there is to humbly experiment. I love that combination of words there. Humbly experiment in various areas of service. You know, if you just let us know, if you're going to get involved in a ministry, say, hey, you know what? I want to experiment with this. I want to see if it connects. Can I just do it for a month? Can I do it for just a quarter or something? Or, you know, a few weeks? Whatever it is, that's cool. You're not going to get locked into it. I encourage that. I love for people to have the freedom to fail. I love it. I think it's great. If you're not failing, it means you're not trying. And that means, you know, out of every failure, sooner or later, you're going to get grip. You're going to get traction. Or you're going to realize, you know, that one's not for me. You know, maybe I need to go a different direction. You know, so if at first you don't succeed, maybe skydiving isn't for you. So just something to think about. So anyway, but yeah, if you want to experiment, I encourage it. Humbly experiment. And humbly, that means just say, you know what? Okay, it's not pride. It's not me. It's just whatever you want me to do. God, just lead me. Open some doors. And man, he will open doors. And then be willing to step through them. Because you're praying about it. You're seeking it out. And you're saying, okay, I'll give this a shot. You know, when I discovered my teaching gift, it was totally based on that. I was asked to go and teach up at a week at camp. And I was like, I'm not a teacher. And they're like, you're the best person I got right now. So even if you're not good, you're better than someone else. It would be worse than you're not good. And so I didn't have a chance to say no. And so I didn't go quite so humbly. I guess eventually I did. But that's my encouragement to you. Humbly experiment. And then number three, so pray about it, humbly experiment, and be open to honest feedback from your Christian brothers and sisters. And this one, I have to unpack this one a little bit. Be open to honest feedback from your Christian brothers and sisters. We should be able to be honest with each other, shouldn't we? We should. Speaking the truth in what? In love. Okay, this is why I need to camp out here for a few minutes. We can't omit either of those when we speak to each other. Amen? You can't omit truth. Okay, we just can't. That's not right. Why would we do that? Don't put off falsehood and speak truthfully to one another. And we can't put off the love part. You can't put off the understanding that when I'm speaking to anyone, I'm speaking to them because I care about them, because I care about the kingdom, because I care about their connection with God and their connection to their service in the kingdom. And that has to be how we talk to each other. We cannot omit either of those two things. When we speak truth, it must be in love. If you notice that someone is gifted in an area, just like the story I shared a couple of weeks ago, that guy, that youth minister that sat with me underneath that pavilion at that picnic bench at that week of camp, if he would have kept that to himself, would I have ever ventured out and tried teaching? I don't know. But the Spirit laid it on his heart, and he spoke truth in love. And we should be able to do that. When we see someone excelling in an area of ministry, we need to be able to have enough courage to go up to them and say, hey, you know what? You're doing a great job here. I don't know if you realize it or not. And I'm just trying to, you know, I'm not trying to falsely encourage. You know, we can't do that. That's where the truth part comes in. You can't just say things and say, well, I'm just encouraging. No, you don't encourage by lying to somebody. That's not the way it happens, okay? So we can't do that, church, okay? And I know that happens a lot, unfortunately. Okay, if someone's not good at something, then encourage them to serve, but don't tell them, don't lie to them, you know? So, but if someone is really doing something that they're spiritually good at, and you notice it, be honest. Share with them in truth and in love. And the inverse, I'll step on this side. The inverse is true too. We need to be able to be honest with each other when we see someone in their struggling area and it's just not their giftedness. And that's not as easy. It's really difficult. But we need to be able to be honest because my goal, and I hope it's all of our goal, especially after last week, I want to see every one of us in our spiritual gift place in the church. As our part of the body, if there's an arm and it's in the eye socket, it needs to be where the arm goes. Otherwise, they're taking up a spot where an eye would be. They're not as effective as they could be. And it just looks like a Picasso painting, honestly. It just doesn't work. If you're an arm and you're not connected to the shoulder, then someone needs to love you enough to speak truth and say, you are definitely an arm. And you would excel in such and such area or such and such area because you've got these gifts. We need to be able to say that to each other. And it doesn't happen if we just speak truth. If you just go out and you're just blunt about something and just blah, 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 that's a good way to have your opinion discredited totally, completely. And even, you might recognize things that are real things, that are significant things to bring up. But if you don't share it in love, it's not going to be heard. It's not going to be shared. You know, I've learned about myself. I'm an artist. Some of you guys, that's new news to nobody here, unless it's your first Sunday. And maybe even not even new news then. You might have already picked up on that trait of me. And I pour myself into anything I do. And I always want to get better at whatever I do. If it's playing video games, that's why they're so addictive for me, because I'm like, oh, I can get better. I can top that. I can do this. I can beat that guy. I can do, you know, and I always want to get better, you know, on things more like my job. I always want to get better. I always want to be better. I always want to do better at being able to share God's word and it connects with people. And I always want to do better when I'm in my office and I'm sharing with someone. I always want to just, I'm so concerned that I give just the absolute best advice that I can give and the best wisdom from God's word. And I always want to get better about that. I want to be better. I want to be better as a dad. I always want to get better. I want to be better as a husband. And you go all the way up to the top. I want to be a better child of God. Always. I always want to be better at that. And here's the kicker. I know I have that huge desire, and that's a big part of what makes me tick. But I know critiques are a part of that. And I've got this love-hate relationship with critiques because I'm an artist. And I pour my heart into things. And so for me, anything I do is a connection to me personally. So when you tell me, if you're going to give me a critique, don't take it personally. Okay, don't tell me that, because I'm going to take it personally, because I'm an artist, and you don't want me to not take it personally, because that's the very reason I pour my heart into it. Amen? Okay, so it's okay. It's okay. I've had to learn this about myself. Okay? I take it personally. And that's because I put myself all into it. And that's just the way I work. Other people work different ways. Okay? And I've learned about myself that I love a straight shooter. And that sounds odd because the critiques hurt sometimes. But I don't like people beating around the bush. It hurts worse. I like a straight shooter. And I need that straight shooter. I need them to have a history of caring about me. I will listen to that critique. I will take it to heart. And it will take me to the next level. If you're a straight shooter and you haven't shown that you care, or it doesn't seem to matter that it's, hey, I love you, and I know that you love me, and you just want me to be better and the best I can be, then I'm all ears. I'll listen. And I know it's going to hurt me because I'm so artsy about it, you know? But I'll walk away and I'll say, okay, it was good, honest advice. It was out of love. They were speaking truth in love. And I can take that and I can apply it. Okay? And so that's not just how to deal with a sensitive, artsy type, okay? That's scripture, isn't it? Speak truth in love. That's how we should deal with everyone. Not just people like me. Not just, you know, people you have to treat with, you know, maybe kid gloves, as sometimes you might think about it. Let me catch up to my notes here. Man, we covered a lot of ground. So yeah, we should be able to honestly. So you also have to weigh the truth of what they're speaking. someone speaks truth in love, you have to measure it and say, okay, is that truth? Because I've also been told that this isn't my gift. And I had to weigh that. And I had to say, no, this is. And maybe I need to be a better steward of a gift. But no. Okay, so you need to weigh that. So I'm not just saying, not anybody in the church can go to someone else and say, hey, you know what? You know, there might be a better seat for you on the bus. And you go, oh, you know. No, you got to weigh that. You got to say, okay, yeah, there's some truth there. I've been struggling. I've noticed it, whatever, whatnot. Or to be able to weigh it and say, no, I don't think so, you know. And so that I had to throw that in there because I don't want us throwing people off track, because sometimes that'll happen. Sometimes people are mistaken. Sometimes people have ill intentions. That happens. You need to weigh that. So I wanted to catch that before we jumped into that. So any conversation we have with each other, and especially on this topic, needs to be full of grace and truth. That's what Jesus came full of, right? Full of grace and truth. And so we should speak the truth in love. And it's kind of interesting. Does anyone know where that verse is found in the Bible? It's okay. So I might not have known it myself. I feel like the Hebrews writer sometimes. Somewhere it says. So if you read the book of Hebrews, that's how he quotes scripture. I love it. It gives me the ability to do that. That scripture is right smack dab in Ephesians 4. And guess what? Ephesians 4 is one of our three main scriptures three main passages that talks about spiritual gifts. So it is actually connected in context with spiritual gifts. Let me read this for you. Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And that grace we've talked about, that's the spiritual gifts. That's the gifts that we've been given. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earthly regions? Paul's giving some commentary on this Old Testament scripture saying that this is definitely Jesus because he ascended and he gave gifts. That's Jesus. So this Old Testament passage is talking about Jesus. He who descended is the very one who ascends higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're going to unpack that more next week. But right here, directly connected, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, what is that? Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that cool? It's right smack dab in this. So it is awesome to bring it up to talk about this because that truth applies in many areas. But it is definitely applicable when we're talking about spiritual gifts. To be able to speak truth in love so we can build the body up. The purpose of the gifts, we'll talk about that next week. The purpose of the gifts is to mature and to grow and to build the body up. And how do we do that? We speak truth in love. And part of that is helping us to be able to discover and find our spiritual gifts. So pray, humbly experiment, and be open to honest feedback. Notes from last week. Let's take this one real quick. I want to be able to touch a little more on this. Salvation is directly connected to responsible actions. This was a note from last week's message. Salvation is directly connected to responsible actions in the body. Receiving God's grace is connected to responsible actions. You receive the salvation of God's grace and you receive the Spirit that gives you your gifts or your gifts of grace is what they are called, to be active in the body of Christ. Both of those come from the same grace and at the same time. Paul says in the very beginning of chapter 4, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Okay, this is not talking about to live, to earn the calling. You've received the calling. Paul says now you got to live up to it. You see the difference there? He's not saying live a life to become worthy. He's like, God has placed this calling on you. He's giving you this spiritual gift and this purpose. Now it's your job to live up to it. Okay? You've been saved by grace. Now you live by grace. And living by grace means using your spiritual gifts. Don't let them go to waste. You got to put them to use. You've been given a gift of grace. You've been given the gift of salvation through grace. And you've been given a spiritual gift by grace. How can we be excited about the salvation that we've been given and do nothing about the gift we've been given, both from the same grace, both from one God, from one Spirit, from one Lord? So we can't let it go to waste. I had to pick that one up from last week to just touch on that. Let me share with you another verse that says about the same thing. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us, right there together, saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we've done, okay? You didn't earn your spiritual gift, just like you didn't earn your salvation. It's a gift. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. So you have a grace-given gift because he has a purpose. A grand purpose, a cosmic purpose for his church, capital C, that involves individual purposes of every part of the body. This is so cool. This is so cool. I love this. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So live that life. Live up to your calling. Live according to your calling. So another thing we see about actively using our gifts. Let's write this down. Actively using your gift helps to develop it. Actively using your gift helps to develop it. And you become more efficient as you're part of the body. Church, you will spend a lifetime honoring your gift, developing it, working on it, learning of places to use it. Anybody, oldest Christian, longest Christian, who's been a Christian for a long, long, long time. Just one volunteer. Okay, Charlie, you're getting poked. How long have you been a Christian, Charlie? Since 47? 71, 72 years. Charlie's been a Christian longer than most of us have been alive. Charlie, are you still working to develop your spiritual gift? Yeah, do you still see it grow? Yeah. How many of you guys were greeted by Charlie today? How many of you guys had a warm greeting from Charlie and he made you feel special just by shaking your head? Charlie, I didn't even see his results from his personality test or his gifts test, but I guarantee you one of them was encouragement, was it not? Yeah? Okay. So that was risky because it was Charlie, but but that's proof. Guys, it's a lifelong journey. You're always going to be working on and improving and developing your spiritual gift. Listen, it doesn't happen overnight, so don't get stressed out about it. Don't think, man, I've got the gift to be a teacher and I'm not an Andy Stanley yet. It's okay. It takes time to develop, and God's going to develop you the way he wants to develop you. You just be the best you can be. And let me encourage you, just enjoy the journey. Okay, just relax. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy learning and developing the gift that God has given you. Don't stress out about not being there yet. Just worry about the process, okay? Let's write that down. We will be honing our gifts over a lifetime. It won't happen overnight. That came out of our preaching team meeting, and that was just such a good piece of advice to give when we're talking about actively developing our gifts. It's gonna happen over time. With that, let's write this down also. We must be responsible with what we have been given. Okay, you guys remember the parable of the talents, right? Remember the parable? Okay, in the new NIV, I couldn't find it because it's not talents anymore. The new NIV calls it bags of gold, which they're kind of paraphrasing, which is not quite the NIV, you know, what they've done over the years. But I get it. A talent was just a sum of money. That works. So a bag of gold, we can go with bags of gold. Okay, so this master, this man, he was going to go on a journey, and he left some of his wealth to his servants. He left 1 5 bags of gold. He left 2 2 bags of gold, and 1 1 bag of gold. And he went on his journey. Well, while he was gone, the one with 5 bags of gold, he put it to work, he invested it, and he ended up getting 100% return. He ended up getting 10 bags of gold back before the master returned. That's pretty awesome. The guy with 2 bags of gold did the same thing. Same percentage, 100% return. He got 2 bags of gold, added 2 bags of gold to it because he put it to work, made it work. The guy that got 1 bag of gold, what did he do with it? He buried it. He hid it. Okay, and so when the master comes back, he tells the first two, he's like, well done, my good and faithful servants. You were faithful with a little. Now I'm going to give you a bunch. Come and share in your master's happiness. And then to the third one, you think maybe he'd say, you know, good job thinking to protect it. Thanks for securing my money. Thanks for guarding it. No, he's harsh. Like really harsh, not just like moderate harsh. Like the words that this man uses, this master, are the same exact words that Jesus uses in other passages to describe hell. That's how serious this guy took it. Let's look at this up here. I think I've got that on the screen. Yeah. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You wicked, lazy servant, is what this master says to him. You should have put my money to work. You should have invested it. You should have done something with it. You should have used it. I don't care if you'd have risked it. And what's cool is that this isn't talking about money, because you can't lose if you don't use it. You can let it go to waste, and yes, in some cases there, you can lose it. But as far as, you can't gamble your spiritual gift away. That's what's cool. You can humbly experiment in so many different ways and try it. And you don't want to be an atomic bomb in the church. We're not asking for that. But you can try and do different things, and you're not going to, God's going to keep you going. You're not going to gamble it away. You're not going to lose it. So get out there and invest it. And it really scares me, and that's one of the things that me and my friend were talking about yesterday as we were texting back and forth. I was like, holy cow, this is like, you know, this is hell language. I would have never thought not using my gift would have been a salvation deal, and I don't have time to get into that today, but I'm just going to leave that there. That's the language Jesus uses in this parable. I think some of us, we're scared to use our gift. We're scared to get out. We're scared to experiment. We're scared to get active in ministry. We're scared for different reasons. We fear different things. You know what? I would be more afraid of seeing God at the end of time and standing before the judgment seats, having not used the gift that he gave me, than any of the fears that can grab you on earth. Would you agree? Man, oh man. How, we don't put it in that perspective. We just think our spiritual gift is a bonus. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I get a chance to have a part. I can do a little something special. I can, woo, it's a little kind of has a mystical feel to it, kind of a, because it's supernatural. It's bigger than you. And that's fun. That's cool. God, it's not just a bonus. It's part of the grace that you've been given. It's given to you for a purpose, and we are to be active in ministry. To develop it, we must be responsible with the gifts that we have been given. So don't be afraid to use them. Work on them, develop them, put them to use. Don't get discouraged. You know, I've had times, you guys know, I've had times where I've been discouraged. And there were times when I really thought about hanging it up. I tried to think of other careers that I could go into. And I kept coming back. I was like, no, this is, God called me to this ministry. He called me to this church, and he gave me these gifts. And every time, that's where I came back to that. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do what you asked me to do, God. And even when I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, I'm going to keep going the same direction you gave me originally. And I want to look at that spiritual compass you gave me. And you said, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to be. Here's the gifts I've given to you. You know these are for me, don't you? And I was like, well, yeah, I do. Then you keep going. Okay, so there's going to be times when you're discouraged. You still have to be responsible with the gift that God has given you, to live a life worthy of the calling you've been given. It's special. And we need to view it that way. Because it's so, so stinking awesome. One last little thing here. I love this one. I love it. And so earlier I was talking about how I love it when God's Spirit manifests through me in times when I get a chance to give people advice, when I get a chance to ask questions that I never, I love seeing that. And you know what? I can share that with you, and I know that I'm not bragging. Did anyone take it as bragging earlier? Okay, if you did, you're probably not going to say you did, but I'm hoping you didn't. Okay, I don't believe any of us would have. And that's what's really cool about spiritual gifts. Let's write this down. You can be excited about using your spiritual gift and still be 100% humble. I once heard a story about a ministry leader who got an award for being a humble servant. And then the church took it away from him because they heard that he had it on display. That's a joke. That's a preacher joke. So, yeah, we have a misconstrued view of humility, don't we? Humility is not putting yourself down all the time. That's not humility. One of our passages, we're in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. In one of our passages, Romans 12, there is an excellent definition of humility. And guess what? It's connected to spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 3 through 5, it says, For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. It doesn't say it, but don't think of yourself lower than you ought. And we can assume that because of what he says right here. He says, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. You should just have a right assessment of yourself. That's what humility is. Having a right assessment of yourself in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Okay, and we're going to, yeah, I'm going to keep moving. So in accordance with the faith that God has distributed, and then this goes right into speaking about spiritual gifts. So the distribution is a key word that connects us into spiritual gifts. So this is so cool. And I almost want to do a whole different sermon on this topic alone. So I'm not going to camp out here. But please hear me in the simple simplicity of this and know that I really so badly want to unpack this. Your identity, we search for identity in so many places, and it can be so very harmful to us. Your identity in Christ, and he has given you a piece of him, a spiritual gift that you can find your identity in, and you can anchor to that. Anytime I've questioned who I am, what I stand for, what I do, what if I'm good, if I'm bad, if I'm just terrible, if I'm just whatever, I can always come back to saying, I am a teacher and a pastor because that's what God has called me to be. That's what God has gifted me to be. And my identity is found there. It's not found in any other place. And guys, that is priceless. And I don't have time to really talk about that. But please take that in. And understand that is powerful truth. So our identity is connected with Christ. And in addition to that, how we connect with each other. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Another thing I don't have time to preach on, we are a church. When you get out of the habit of going to church, or you church hop and you go to different places, whatever, you miss this opportunity of really connecting in and really being part of the body. And you get your identity from the spiritual gift that God has given you. Our identity first is in Christ and how he sees us and how he views us. But then he gives you a reason to have identity in him, your spiritual gift. And then as we use that spiritual gift with each other, we get an identity in the church. I'm an arm, or I'm a leg, or I'm a belly button, whatever. You fit in the body. And that gives you purpose, and you know that you're part of a plan. 1 Corinthians 12, in that passage, we were just in Romans 12. So 1 Corinthians 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, But all its many parts from one body form one body. So it is with Christ. So write this down. We can be excited about using our gift and still be 100% humble because you find your place. It's a God-given place, and you should be excited about that. You should be super excited about that. And that's humility, having a correct assessment of yourself. We see a lot of people that are in areas that they don't need to be in. We have a lot of people here, and I talked about this two Sundays ago. They serve because it needs to be done, so I'm going to do it. They serve because they know that it makes a difference. It's not their gifted area. It's not really where they desire to be, but they know, okay, this is important because we need someone to be downstairs and teach our kids. It makes a difference. No one else is doing it, so I need to do it. And it might not be their gifted area. Okay, I had someone last week come up to me and say, I don't want to stop doing this. I don't want to give any details so I don't give them away. But I don't want to stop doing this in the church because it's my gifted area and I love it and I get fulfillment from it. I know it's important. I know it needs to be done. All this other stuff that happens if you're doing what God has called you to do. But they said, I'm involved in this and this and they're not my gifted areas. I'd really like to move out of those. Okay, and that's a big deal. Because what I've seen in church after, you know, you see this across churches, that you'll see people that step up and they serve in their gifted areas, but in the process of doing that, they're more connected with the inner workings of the church and they notice other areas that need to be done. And they're like, well, I need to step in and do that. And then they get burnt out. And then guess what? You lose them in all the areas. And that really stinks because we lose people that are gifted in areas that have been called by God to do this. So we need to do some things about that, church, okay? And I told you 2 weeks ago we were going to talk a little more about this week. Okay, so what we need to do is we're going to have to saturate our areas of ministry. Okay, so hear me. I know you've been listening to it for a while. You know, I don't know if we need to get up and stretch. I'm going to try and get it done here. Okay, but we need to saturate areas in our church. Saturate areas of ministry. Okay, you got a chance to take a spiritual gifts assessment or discovery last week. We got them available at the Information Center. They're available online. Let that be a tool. Get involved in active service. Humbly experiment. And this is a great way to do it. Okay, we need to saturate the areas of ministry. You might say, well, it looks like we have plenty of greeters. You know, I don't want a greeter at the door that's just there because they know it needs to be done or they know it's important. This matters because when I first came to church, no one greeted me. And so I want to be a greeter because I know it's important. And if they're not spiritually gifted, I don't want them being greeters at the door. Because if they're spiritually gifted to be somewhere else, they belong to be attached somewhere else. Amen? But they're not going to leave their post there if there's no one there to do it that is their spiritual gift, right? So we can't just up and say, okay, everybody quit your areas where you're not spiritually gifted. Our church will just crumble. That we can't do it that way. So the way we're going to have to do it is flip it upside down. We're going to have to saturate our areas of ministry. So if you say, you know what, I'm gifted. I have a spiritual gift of encouragement, and I have a natural gift. I love being around people. I love talking to people. I love showing a smile. I love getting a smile back. And you're not a greeter? You should be, because that fits you perfectly. It's not a difficult job in the church at all. Okay, you got to get here a little bit earlier, okay? You can do that, and that's coming from someone like me. I can tell you, okay, you can do it. Okay, and we need to saturate those areas, because what happens is you look at areas and you say, well, that's got enough people. No, it has enough people because inevitably there are people there that don't need to be there. But they're not going to leave if they're not going to leave a vacancy because they're faithful servants, okay? So we just need to saturate all the areas. And for a little bit, this might put a little stress on the church here, and that's okay, okay? We need to push it to get better. It's the only way it's going to happen, and it's going to have to be a teamwork effort. So if we saturate the areas of ministry and we all are volunteering in places that are spiritual gifts, then you'll have people like this person that talked to me the other week that says, I really want to excel in this area, but I'm really feeling drained because I'm in these other areas. Then if they see that this is covered, they'll say, okay, I can focus on what I'm gifted in. Okay, does that make sense, church? Yes? Okay, can we do that? Yes? Okay. Because that's how we're going to move forward in that area. So where's my next note so I can get this written down and get done. So everyone should be excited about their place, and you can be 100% humble because you make a difference in the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's not about you. So when you're excited about your spiritual gift, you're excited about the kingdom. And you can be 100% humble and be excited about your spiritual gift because you know what you're doing is helping the kingdom. It's not self-serving. Okay, let me keep on going here. I'm going to have to skip those scriptures. Good scriptures. Read them in your bulletin. Last one here. You feel God working through you. That's another reason why you can be excited about your spiritual gift and be 100% humble, because you feel God working through you. And those are the two scriptures that I dodged. They are in your bulletins. Please read them later. You can feel God working through you. I'm going to read a passage of scripture to close, and I'm going to pray from 1 Peter. It's outside of our three that we've been using. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for gifting us the way that you have. You have equipped your church in amazing ways, supernaturally equipped us. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, help us to not let our gifts go to waste, that we would put them into practice, that we would get active in ministry, that we would dig into these passages of scripture that we were digging into today. I pray that every one of us would venture back to Romans 12, Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 this week. Maybe even jump into the 2 Timothy or 1 Peter passages that were mentioned. Father, help us to live a life worthy of the calling you have already called us to. You have called us to it. You have forgiven us. You've washed us clean. You've taken away any obstacle to separate us from you and your love and your power. You have given to us a specific gift that is to empower us in a supernatural way to be part of your body, to find our place, to make a difference, to serve your kingdom, and that we can feel you working through us in that. Father, thank you so much. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for taking that gift for granted. Forgive us for only counting it as a bonus or extra or Jimmy's on top of our ice cream, whatever. Help us to be more responsible and to take seriously what you have given to us. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.